Good morning once again, and it is a good morning, isn't it? It's comfortable, the sun is shining, and God reminds us of his love through the sunshine. And this morning, we're going to be looking at that, what we call the Great Commission to start off with here. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. It's also in the book of Mark, but we're going to go to the one in Matthew. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And the title above mine says, Jesus Gives the Great Commission. And so I kind of, throughout this message, my desire is to answer the question, why do they call this commission great? And is it still great for us today? So hopefully by the time we're done, I'll have answered that question for you. So it says there in verse 18, then Jesus came to them and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of Israel. Just the Jews. What's it say? You can answer. All nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Very end of the age. So right off the bat, it's telling us how long it's good for, right? To the end of the age. So even for today. So Jake read some passages of scripture that start us off at the beginning, back in Genesis, with Abraham. God called Abraham to leave his home and to travel to a new land. He was the first missionary. He was leaving his home and going to a new place that he didn't even know. And even as he was traveling, he didn't know where he was going. God was guiding him along the way. And oftentimes missionaries today seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You remember when Paul, he was praying for open doors of opportunity and for God to guide him. And God told him, no, I don't want you to go to Macedonia. So God leads in the spur of the moment sometimes. But here, Abraham was the first missionary, and God gave Abraham a covenant, a promise that is still for us today, and we're going to see why. He gave to Abraham, and as those were read, did you notice what each of those had in common? So the first two readings were for Abraham himself, and then the last two were for, I think we missed the last. The last two were for his son Isaac and his son Jacob. And we call those three men, what do we call those three men? Or the Israelites, the Jewish people, and we, what do we call them? Anybody know that, the title we give to them? The patriarchs. The Jewish people look to them. They were like the beginners. They were the founders of Israel, of their nation. And so whatever was committed to them, they hold on to and believe. And to each of them, God gave them a promise that he would multiply them and that they would be, you remember what the words were? A blessing to all the nations. One of the specific ones says to all the families of the earth. To all the nations of the earth, to all the families of the earth. And then more specifically in the last two, he says, and I didn't, okay, I'll find it. What was the last one? Here it is. In 26, this one is not the last one. It's the next to the last one, to Isaac. It's in chapter 26 of Genesis. And If I could find the start of that, verse 4, it's the last half of verse 4, and it says, through your offspring. So it brings a more specific, and the Hebrew term for that offspring is singular. So it's even specifying now that the true answer to this is going to be through Jesus Christ, through his offspring. And we had Drew read from Isaiah. And in Isaiah, we learned that the servant of God that was to be the answer to that was to come, was the description of who Jesus is, the Messiah. And the Israelites, the Jewish nation, they were always waiting for that Messiah to come. And I want us to especially notice in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6, the last part of verse 6, it says, let me start up in verse 1. It says, listen to me, you islands, hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. So he's talking about Jesus, the Messiah. In verse 6, he says, is it too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob? So he starts with Israel, the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light to the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, let me ask you a question. Has the Jewish nation done that? Did the Israelites fulfill that to the nations? Were they a light unto the nations? Actually, if we could go through the scriptures in the Old Testament, we would see many examples of where they were a small light to a person, to a small community, to a town, and even Joseph to a whole nation of Egypt. There was a great effect there. And we don't know how many of the Egyptians that came out with the Israelites came out because of the testimony of the people of Israel and their life example before them. But on a whole, Israel failed. And I want to show you a passage of scripture that I believe is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. It's found in Isaiah chapter 26. And it's verse 18. It says, and he's speaking on behalf of Israel. He says, we were with child. We writhed in pain, but we gave birth to wind. We have not brought salvation to the earth. We have not given birth to the people of the world. There was a recognition that Isaiah had that as a nation, they had not fulfilled what God intended for them to do, to be a light unto the nations. But God had a purpose from the very beginning. He had a purpose, and he was going to fulfill that purpose of reaching. Even though the nation of Israel failed, he had his son, Jesus Christ, coming to the earth, right? I want to just take you to Acts chapter 13 real quick. We're going to be thumbing through a lot of scriptures, so have your fingers working fast, whether it's on your app or in your Bible. Acts chapter 13, and we read in 46, and Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, we have to speak the word of God to you first. He's speaking to the people in the synagogue, the Jewish people. Since you reject it and do not consider yourself worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. And it goes on to quote the verse that we just read earlier. I have made you a light unto the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. So Jesus came, his focus, we all know, because we have a memory verse that we all know very much by heart, and some of you can quote it in other languages even. Porque de tal manera amó Dios al mundo que ha dado a su Hijo unigénito, para que todo aquel que en él cree no se pierda. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Who is that for? Is it for the Jews? No. What's it say? For God so loved the world. We like to put our name in there, right? And sometimes we are very much like the Jewish nation. We put our name in there, but we don't consider the reality. It says the world. And we get so focused on us. We get so focused on our small community and our circle of life that it's hard to see way out there beyond, and the fact that God has people out there that haven't heard yet and don't have the privilege of coming to a church like this and don't have a family like we do who love each other and enjoy our company together, enjoy singing hymns together, and the opportunity to open up the Word of God and just read that Word of God. My cousin Dan was sharing in Sunday school. He's a missionary with Global Recordings Network, and he was sharing how they've translated or put the gospel message into 6,500 languages, approximately, but half of those languages don't even have a written Word of God in them. They don't even have a written language, much less have the Word of God to read in their own language. So we have a great task to do. Jesus also gave us the example, beautiful example in John chapter 4, when he says in verse 4, I need to go through Samaria. Samaria was the neighbor country who the people did not like. When the people looked inward, they thought of themselves more highly than they should. And they looked down on everybody else. In fact, they called the people of Samaria dogs, and they called Gentiles, us, dogs, okay? Because their focus was inward rather than outward. And Jesus was setting the example here for his disciples that what he was about was the world. In fact, in Acts chapter 1, we read it in Sunday school. Acts chapter 1 starts, he says, I've given you the task, this great commission, to go, starting in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria. So the places you don't want to go, the places even in the States here where we don't necessarily want to go. Maybe we don't want to go to the city, Pittsburgh downtown, or New York City, or you think of a place where you would just rather not go to share the gospel, the hard places. Samaria represents those hard places, those places where, it's disgusting. I don't want to even go anywhere near there. To the Jews, that was a place of disgust. But Jesus, he had compassion. He had love. And for him, he wanted his disciples to know that it wasn't about them, it was about the world, for God so loved the world. And so he started with a Samaritan woman, a woman that he met at the well. And he shared with her how if she knew who she was talking to, she would ask him for water. And he would give her the living water, water of life, the Holy Spirit. Let's look at chapter, first of all, as a result of that conversation, in verse 13 of chapter 4, it says, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That's an awesome thought to think about. So let's jump ahead to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, and look at verse 37 through 39. And we're going to explain a little bit. What is that? What did he mean there? By the way, that woman came to belief in Jesus Christ, and she was so excited, even though she had been married 5 times and she was not living with the man, and Jesus knew her and called her out on that. She fell in love with Jesus and his words and believed in him so much that she went right into town and told everybody, and they all came out to see this Jesus. And at first they said, "We believe because of you." But after they had time and spent a few days with Jesus, they said, "We no longer believe just because of your testimony, but now we believe because we have seen him and we know him ourselves." And so a missionary is one who goes. That lady was one of the first missionaries. She went and she brought people to Christ. What's been the theme this year of our church? Anybody? Who remembers our theme? Huh? Come and see. And that's what she did. Those were her words. Come and see this Jesus who's just transformed my life, who knows everything I did, and yet loves me. When we think about it, the broken person that she was, she felt the love of and acceptance of Jesus Christ. She was drawn to that. She believed what he said, and she went and told. She was one of the first missionaries. Listen to these verses. Verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up. So this is important. He stood up and he called out in a very loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." And by this he meant the Spirit whom those who believe in him were later to receive, the Spirit of God. So I told my cousin Dan, he likes to sing on the spur of the moment, and I told him he would come up with a song for that verse or for something I said. So I know afterwards he's going to want to sing a song with me. But I've got a river of life flowing out of me. I won't sing it right now. But I want to take you on a little bit of a tour. In chapter 2 of Genesis, we won't go there, I'll just tell it to you. In chapter 2 of Genesis, we just talked about a stream of living water. The Bible is full with illustrations of streams of water, rivers of water, and the importance of a river. And in Genesis chapter 2, he paints the picture of Eden, the Garden of Eden, fed by rivers of life that will produce for that garden, will water that garden, and will allow that garden to thrive. He tasked Adam with the job of cultivating that garden, but he had there surrounded, it started with one river that broke into 4 branches, and that those rivers surrounded that garden. That's the picture of that garden, with lush, is beautiful as you could ever imagine, and even more, because we can't imagine. We don't have anything, I think, as beautiful, but we will see that in heaven and on the earth to come. But I want to take you. So that's Genesis. And if we looked at all the rivers through the Bible, you would be blessed to make a study of all the rivers. But we don't have time to do that. So I'm just going to take you to the last chapter of the Bible, and we will look at a river there. And we'll look at one more river. In chapter 22, John, as he's writing this, he's been taken by the angel and seen different things, visions. And it says, "Then the angel showed me the river of water of life, a clear as crystal, flowing where? From the throne of God of the Lamb, Jesus, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood a tree of life bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations." Awesome statement there, and something for us to really think about. The leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. In Psalm chapter 1, it talks about us being planted by a river. That picture is us being planted in the Word of God, knowing the Word of God so well that we, our lives just emulate Jesus Christ to others. And our speech is, because it's so, we have the gospel so much in us, we speak God's Word to people. When there's questions, we have the words to answer. So it's a big challenge for us. I want to take you to the book. If you open your Bibles, kind of almost in the middle. You might be in Isaiah. Take one more book, two more books over, past Jeremiah, down that road to the book of, there's Lamentations there, to Daniel, Ezekiel, a few more books, I'm sorry. Yeah, to Ezekiel chapter 47, okay? I believe here is a picture of God establishing the church, growing the church of God through missions. And it's a beautiful picture as we are going to look at. In chapter 47, it says, "The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the side to the outer gate facing the east. And the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits. That's about a quarter mile. And then led me through the water. It was ankle deep." Now notice the progression here. "He measured off another 1,000 cubits, another quarter mile, and led me through the water. It was knee deep. Then he measured off another 1,000 and led me to the water. It was up to my waist. Then he measured off another 1,000 cubits, but now it was too deep, the river that I could not swim, because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, 'Son of man, do you see this?' Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, 'The water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into Arabia, where it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh.'" And this, listen to this picture in verse 9. "Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because the water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live." This is a beautiful picture if you think about the whole concept God gives us about trees and how we are to be trees planted by the living water, planted in God's Word, learning from God, growing in God, and sharing what we know about God, passing on. That's what a disciple is somebody who takes somebody under their wing and teaches them everything that they are learning, and passing on that knowledge and encouraging them to find somebody who they can disciple and pass on this. And that's what's happened from Paul till now. And that's why we're all here, because somebody shared the message of the gospel with us. Somebody taught us. Somebody discipled us and encouraged us to be a part of a family of God, a church where we can grow and learn more, continue to be discipled, continue to share and give out. The question is, are we going to be like the Israelites? Are we going to focus inward? Or are we going to focus outward as God desires for us? The Great Commission is great because it's God's passion. It's his design from the very start of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. He is building his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Those are words straight from the scripture. He is building his church, and this, to me, was a beautiful picture. We're those trees along that river. And if you go on to verse 12, it says, fruit trees of all kinds will grow. And we're all different, and we all produce different gifts, different fruits, because God has given us all different gifts. He's given us gifting that he wants us to use before we were born. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, he prepared for us a set of projects, a set of jobs, a set of tasks that he wants us to accomplish throughout our life. And so we need to be asking him, God, what have you prepared me for? How can I use my gifts? The ones you've, what gifts have you given me? First, if you don't know your gifts, ask him. He'll reveal your gifts to you. It's the things that you love to do that please him. So it says here that all kinds will grow on the banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. You see, the water of God, the living Christ, the Holy Spirit, as we learn from John chapter 7, that Holy Spirit wells up within us, and it's his Spirit that gives us life, that gives us strength, that gives us the ability to be fruitful like that, to be healing, that healing to the nations. I hope you see that this is a beautiful picture and involves each one of us. How can we be a part of the Great Commission? We can be a part of the Great Commission, first of all, by sharing with those that we know. We've had an encouragement, a challenge over and over since I started here. And back on the back table there, if you don't have one already, there is a little card like this that has five numbers here. And it says, Most Wanted. And this is a great place to start. You see, you start by naming five people that you know in your circle, your Jerusalem, that don't know Jesus. And you begin praying. Dan shared how they were going into this one village, and they started praying. And after 2 years, God opened a door. But first, while they were praying in the beginning of those 2 years, God was speaking into the heart of a young 13-year-old boy. And when they finally got to him, that boy was the one who accepted Jesus Christ first. And then his father, then his brother, his family, and then some of that village, and a good part of that village later on. So we never know where that's going to go, but we need to all have one of these filled out and be praying for opportunities for them. I'm going to be handing out a prayer card. It's a guide. It's from Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. That's going to be handed to you as you leave. It's just a half a sheet. You can stick it in your Bible. It's a way to pray for missionaries. It's a great way to pray for your friends, for everybody, but it's a great way to pray for missionaries. So that's a really good start. And then the opportunity I really love is this one. If you haven't grabbed a shoebox right out the back, that is a fantastic opportunity, because these shoeboxes, as you learn, they go to a village somewhere where there's a child who's maybe never received a gift at all, ever. And that may be the very first gift they get. And in there, we pray for those boxes. We ask God to give them specifically to the people that need that box. And a part of that is a Bible study, a discipleship Bible study that they go through with the community that's given them that box, church in that community or group in that community. And then that person, that child, may come to Jesus Christ. their family may come to Jesus Christ, then their neighborhood, and then maybe their village and a greater area. So we never know the effect that just one shoebox can have. So I encourage you, if you haven't done that yet, grab one of those shoeboxes on your way out. That's one way that we can reach the ends of the earth without going there. We're maybe not called to go there, but this is a way that we can go there with a gift and the message of Jesus Christ. So I encourage you to do that. We are going to see a video now. This is of the McCabe family. This video will introduce you to Sean and Becky McCabe. I got to know Sean at Mahaffey Camp this summer. I had already been introduced to Becky through the video that we saw last night at the Hunger Banquet. And if you missed that, I'm sorry. We had a great time, and the skits were awesome. We do have some pictures, some very funny videos and pictures of the skits. So that will be fun to look at. But anyways, how do we get involved? Here is a family. We're going to look at this video, and then afterwards we'll close with how can we make a difference in their lives and in the world by being part of the Great Commission. Okay, you just heard the plea from them. Will you join us in this process? And so I'd like to take you to back to the verse that I started with today, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and verse 11. When my wife and I were going to Indonesia as missionaries, this was the verse on our prayer card. We didn't end up in Indonesia, but we still have that prayer card somewhere. I remember seeing it not too long ago. And this verse says, as you help us by your prayers, as you help us by your prayers. What was her request? Pray for us. Did she say give? No. Partner with us at the end, but what our missionaries really need most? They need our prayer. They need us to understand what they're going through. And we got a good picture of that last night. If you missed that, we may be able to put that on our, can we put that on our website somehow or tag it, a link to it? I'd encourage you to check that out. We'll try to do that. And that's a great way to see exactly that that area, that experience that she had. They did a great video of that. And it really helps you to see that community and to feel what they're experiencing and what she was talking about. But this verse says, as you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. So because Paul was there ministering the gospel, taking the gospel, his desire was to take it to the ends of the earth. He was writing to the Romans, and in chapter 15, he talks about going beyond. He was talking about reaching Spain, beyond Italy, where the Roman peoples were. And he wanted to go to Spain, and he said, and to the coastlands, even beyond. We talked about in Sunday school, what's beyond Spain across the Atlantic Ocean? It's us. We were part of that. At one point, we were the ends of the earth. This country was the ends of the earth. And then as this country got evangelized, it started by God bringing some pilgrims to New England. And some missionaries out of that group began to move across the nation and taking the gospel to the native Indian population. It just kept spreading. God used people through the discipleship process. So encouragement is for us to become disciplers and taking somebody under our wing and sharing the message of the gospel that we know in a tangible way, and encouraging them to grow in their walk, helping them to have a Bible study and know how to study the Word of God, learn how to study the Word of God, learn how to dig in and get all these truths for ourselves, not just coming to church and learning, and having a disciplined prayer life and praying for people, praying for our families, our neighbors, our community, and praying for the world out there, the ends of the earth part of this message. And that is a part that we can also be involved. If we look, he says then, in look at chapter 8. Now he gets, later on, he gets to the title that we see above chapter 8 is Generosity Encouraged. At least that's the title in my Bible. It says Generosity Encouraged. In verse 2, out of the most severe trial, he's talking about the Macedonian believers, out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich, rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own, not forced. Out of desire, they gave generously. Sacrificially is what that verse says, what it means. They gave sacrificially above their means. So I want to encourage us as a church, first of all, to become prayer warriors for our missionaries. Now, we don't know a lot of missionaries yet, maybe in this church, and we've introduced Andy and his wife Lori in Indonesia. Today, when I put on my shirt, I noticed that the tag said made in Indonesia, and so I am encouraged and challenged to pray for Andy, to pray for missionaries in Indonesia, to pray for the churches, the believers in Indonesia, that the gospel will continue to spread. Dan shared with us in Sunday school how there are still 1,000 languages in Indonesia that don't have the gospel message. 1,000, just in that one country. So we have a task before us, and God has given us, has blessed us. Last night, our dinner, we had the U.S., we had Mexico representing the middle class, and we had Mali representing the poor, which is 70% of the world, the middle class, 20% of the world, and us, along with a host of other countries, 10%, the wealthy. God has blessed us with a wealth beyond our measure in this country, and we have the opportunity to give generously and to support missions around the world. And I would encourage you, and I'm challenging this church family along with us, to become generous givers over this next year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. Right now, our giving to missions is very small. It's not even 10%. I would love to see us giving more than 10%. My wife and I have learned we keep increasing. As the Lord blesses us more, we keep increasing our giving percentage-wise to missions. And we're able to support my cousin Dan, his brother, some of my other family, and others that God has put on our heart who are out there in the trenches, out sharing the gospel to the ends of the earth. And it's an opportunity for us, for each of you. Now, the best way to give is through the offering. We'll be taking an offering momentarily. That's a one-time thing that we do here at the Alliance Church. But you can be putting an offering every month. You can designate a part of your offering to missions. You can go online and go under Christian Missionary Alliance, CMA, and you'll come to their website, and on their website, across the top is a little dash bar, and there's a spot that says give. You can select that, and you can give directly. 2 weeks ago, I started to tell you about the fact that there were over 700 missionaries spread around the world, 80 countries, sharing the message of the gospel, like we just saw. And we're encouraged to pray for them. We don't know many of those 700. So far, we only know a few. I only know a few. But in January, we're going to get to know Joel and Sally. In March, we're going to get to know David and Crystal. And then in the summertime, the couple you just saw here in the video, Lord willing, will be with us and we'll get to know them. As we get to know these people, we can partner with them financially and praying for them, but we can give, designate money specifically to their ministries. And the organization overall is asking that we actually partner with people. It helps us as a church to fall in love with these people and what they're doing and to come alongside them and have that partnership of praying and giving specifically to them. They're all from, well, except for Andy, the rest of the ones that we are going to be having here are from central and western Pennsylvania. So they're close. They're people like us who understand this part of the country. God has called them out to go to other places. So we'll have opportunity to partner and get to know more missionaries in the years to come. How else can we participate? We can participate by going. Lord willing, if the Lord leads, possibly this next summer, we'll do another missions trip down to Mexico. That is in the thought process, and we have made a commitment to that, but Pastor and I would like to see that happen. And there may be some of you that would love to see that happen. So that's something we can be praying about, that God will open up that door of opportunity so some of us can actually be the ones going and experience that and have a greater appreciation for what those missionaries are dealing with and living with every day. And that helps us to understand and partner with them and pray more effectively for those people. So those are ways that we can partner. Those are ways that we can make a difference in the lives of our missionaries. So I want to encourage you, at the back on that table, there's a picture of the McCabes. You'll see their children. There's a sign-up sheet right there. If you would like their newsletter, just put your name and your email address that you'd like that to come to, and then that will come. I just got one Saturday. It was their Friday communication, and then it said across the top, oops, it's Saturday. So anyway, so it's something that they try to do on Fridays. I know Andy sends out a newsletter every Friday. I hear from him from Indonesia. He gives a list of prayers at the end, prayer requests, and he shares how God is answering the previous requests that we've been praying for. So if you want to get on his email address as well, just let me know. When we have our finger fellowship at the end, back to the on the back wall, there's some more stuff. There's also little pictures of the McCabe family. I'd like you to take one of those and put it somewhere where you see it. It's a reminder for you to pray for them. And there is also a green little prayer card with a few specific, it has the names of the children and a few specific prayers, ways that you can pray specifically for their ministries. So that's a way we can partner with them. And I just want to encourage you, we have the Holy Spirit within us. If we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that description in Ezekiel includes us. We're one of those trees planted by that river. God is building. It started out small, but it kept growing exponentially. And I know my parents, my grandparents were part of a mission movement under China Inland Mission back in the 40s, 30s and 40s. And there was little fruit at the beginning, but then it began to grow. And when they left because of communist China coming in and taking the Bibles away, you know what happens when the world tries to take the Bible away from people? Do you? People want it even more. And so they've memorized, they begin writing everything that they've memorized and written. They collaborate with others, and before long, they have parts of the Bible, and they're still reading, they're still growing. They pass those on, and others participate in what they, and so they begin just writing. I remember hearing stories. And the church in China has grown exponentially. We don't know, because it's a hidden church. We don't know how many. I don't know if you've heard numbers, but I know it's in the millions. Now, there's billions. The population is huge. So percentage-wise, it may not be, you know, a huge percentage, but we don't know because it's underground. And there's no way of knowing how many believers there are. But we know that there's other countries like that, where the gospel has come and it's just spread exponentially. And so we have a part of making a difference like that. And so I just want to encourage you to be a part. We're going to have the, I didn't ask you guys, Millwards, if you'd be willing to come up and pass out the plates, would you? The offering plates, I forgot to ask you at the beginning. Okay. So our missions committee team is going to come up. The music team, if you would come up at this time, we're going to, I forget the song we're singing. I also want to just mention there is a faith offering. So a faith pledge card at the back also right there. You can grab those. That faith pledge card is just, if you want to make a commitment to supporting missions over the next year and you want to give through the Alliance, through the website, or even have a portion every month go towards missions, that's a good place. So grab one of those, read it through, and you can make a pledge on there. So, all right. Thank you very much.